pasuk Murad. Page 282. Page 282. We learned two pesukim. We're almost finished. Okay. Okay, so let's learn over here the Mamari Chazal, and then we'll do the Chaim Asanoch. The Mamari Chazal, page 282. We learned two pesukim teaching us that the two chasadim, the chasadim that Hashem has done with us in regard to the nation of Emoiri. And as the Malbim explained in detail, the Malbim said that in Malbim it appears that Hashem has done to Klal Yisrael greater miracles, nisim gluyim, l'malo m'derech ha'teva, to protect us from the dangers of Emoiri, more than, let's make some noises here. I know why. It's my fault. I have no idea. What a lot of electronics lately. You say this. Electronics, interference, wires. Okay. Any event, the Pasuk test and Pasuk Yud tells us Hashem has done with us chesed, has done with us kindness in wiping out the Amoraim, because they were the worst in regard to Gilui Aroyos. And this would be a very great challenge nisoyon for Klal Yisrael, especially because they were coming from Mitzrayim, and the nisoyon, one of the greatest nisoyonis in Mitzrayim, was the nisoyon of Gilui Aroyos. And therefore, in order to counter and the Emoraim would connect Klal Yisrael back to the nisoyonis that they experienced in Egypt. And therefore Hashem did with us supernatural miracles to prevent us from being nichshol in the chait of Arayos by wiping out the nation of the Emoiri. And furthermore, Hashem delayed our entry into Eretz Yisrael by 40 years. So the thoughts, the machshavos, the effect of what we were accustomed to seeing and doing in Egypt should wear off, should dissipate, so that when we come into the Holy Land, we would be able to behave ourselves properly and the land would tolerate us. That was the gist of the Malbim. Now we come to the Mamari Chazal, page 282, Perek Beis Pasuk Tes. V'nochi yishmalati yisamor mibneihem, asher goyva arozim govoy v'chosoyn hu ko'aloinim. Tonei Rebbe Avohu, minayin shakodosh baruch hu mishtabeach b'balei koimah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises himself relating to people or objects that are tall. We'll see what this means. Let's read a few more words. Shenemar, V'yonohi hishmadati eshemori bipneihem asher goyva arozim gofa. The first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes in relating to the Emoraim is the fact that they were tall. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I am even greater than those objects or those things in this world whose characteristic is height. And it's a very interesting idea of what it means to be tall. Look, it's no secret that a girl likes a tall boy, right? That's no secret. There's something about height. Something about height that is very appealing. And it's very interesting is that one of the qualifications that you need to make a melech has to be balei koima, has to be very tall. And yet, in our generation, some of the biggest gedolei Yisrael were short. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very short. Okay, Rav Rudiman was short. You go, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was short. Rav Aaron Kola was short. I think Rabbi Kefet, he once rattled off like 10, 15 gedolei Yisrael that were exceptionally short. What? Chavetz Chaim, he was very short. Chavetz Chaim, he wasn't tall, but okay, it's right. The picture, that's right, that's correct. The picture that they show, that famous new picture that has been revealed, that video, he's very, very short. That's indeed, it's true. It's very short. Very good point. It's very fascinating that it's interesting is that the Gemara says that you need to the Baalei in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin or a member of to be a Melech. One of the qualifications listed is Baalei Koima, and yet the Gedolei Yisrael, at least in recent times, are very, very short. That begs the question. Maybe when it says balei koima, it means great in great in stature. Does Balei Koyma necessarily mean physically tall? That's how many of the commentators learn pshat, because there's a certain respect. Well, there it says Hagadol. There it says Gadol. Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, but Koyma.
The Mefarshim on the page, on Perkei Avos, they learn that Balei Koyma has the advantage when you walk, when a tall person walks into a room, you know, you are, he makes a presence. A short person walks into a room, he does not make that much of a presence. You don't feel intimidated. Someone very tall walks into a room, they feel very intimidated.
They earn
more. What?
Statistics are, they earn more.
People who are tall.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is definitely something true about physical height, but yet, obviously, that's not what counts. And here, there's a Maamar Chazal, which I don't have more information. Obviously, this has to be studied in much more detail, what this means. But it's something which Chazal make mention of, and it's not something to be taken lightly. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mishtabeach. A Kadosh Baruch Hu prides himself in areas relating to height. And here, when Kadosh Baruch Hu describes the fact that he has destroyed, obliterated the Amoreim, what's the big deal? What's the big deal for Hashem to obliterate the Amoreim? And the Chapasit says, they were tall. They were very tall. They were very high. Just like the height of the Arazim. Now, what does that mean exactly? I don't know. But the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu goes out of his way to mention this as number the first item listed in the four different items in this pasuk is something which is significant. Okay, next halach, next Maamar Chazal. Kishuhu Moishel Esam Alchuyos Einoi Moishel Oisam Ela Ba'arazim. Kadosh Baruch Hu compares, makes a proverb. Kingdoms, Hashem always compares a kingdom to cedar. What is the example? This part, they have first Yecheskel Shnemar. Hinei Ashur Erez Balavanon. The nation of Ashur is like a cedar in Lebanon. The Oimer, here is the second pasuk of this Chazal. Pasuk right, we learned. Venochi Yishmarti Yisamer Yimlevneim Asher Govei Arazim Govei. Next Chazal. Virishtem Goyim Gidolim Aratzum Mikem. It says in Devarim that Hashem will allow you to enter into Eretz Yisrael and you will possess the territory of nations that are greater than you. Why is this pasuk in Devarim Yud Aleph necessary when the same theme has been taught to us in Devarim Perek Zayin? Shiva goyim rabim atzum mimeko. Uma tamla mikem. What then does it say over here in the word mikem in Perek Yud Aleph? Melamed shehamoyri mishiva amim godol v'kosha k'neged kol Yisrael. V'cheinu oimer v'anochi hishmadeti esfamoyri b'pneihem. So here it's teaching us an amazing repetition. This thing over here, Mikem, I guess that pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph is referring to the nation of Emori, and since it gets its own pasuk, the Emorim in Perek Yud Aleph, even though we have already a general pasuk that says in Perek Devarim Zayin of the Shiva Goyim, from here we learn a Yesoid, an important principle is that from the Zayin Amimin, Emoiri was shokol kineged kulam, was the most mighty. Their might was equal to all of them together, and they were a match. They were even more mighty than the Jewish people. And the fact that they were destroyed, lemala miderech hateva, we looked at the Maamar Chazal the last few days, the tzira, this wasp that spit, injected poison in their eyes, and threw poison in their erva to prevent them from multiplying, and from all the other supernatural things that we learned in the pasuk, that Hashem destroyed their angel in Shemayim, Hashem destroyed their king below, all the different ideas that were mentioned in Chazal, Hashem went out of his way, lamala mederech hateva, to obliterate the Emoriim, who was the most mighty, both physically and their spiritual threat, according to the Malvim, was also equally as dangerous because of the taiva of Arayos. Yes.
Not
the other nations. Exactly.
Not Amalek.
Amalek. Amalek is not the Zayin Amamin. Amalek is from Edom. Amalek is not an Eretz Yisrael. They don't live there. Amalek is outside. They were an enemy from without. The Zayin Amamin are enemies from within. And they and these were unique. Well, I thought you were trying to say is that the other nations, Hashem did not do things that were lemala b'derech hateva, and in fact they remained a thorn in our eyes for generations to come. The Pelishtim, were always there in Eretz Yisrael. And there were other nations, other from the Zion and the Yevusim. The Yevusim occupied Yerushalayim until the very, very end. So how could it be that the nations that were not so mighty, were not so powerful, we could not get rid of? And there were pockets of them lingering all over Eretz Yisrael, causing problems. But yet the Amorim, who were the major threat to Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped out. That's Hashem's derech. There are certain things Hashem does for us, l'malam derech ha-teva, and then there are things that Hashem leaves over for us. And those small little details can be a major struggle for the rest of our lives. Next, Ma'amar Chazal. It says, V'ash p'riyo b'mal v'sharosha v'mitochas tzira. Okay, this is going back, Rashi quoted, I think it was Rashi. Yes, Rashi quoted this Chazal. All the Rashi's, always Rashi's, most of the time Rashi's, it's the collection. Rashi's malakeh, various, he handpicks the Ma'amari Chazal that he feels is the most appropriate to explain the Pshat in the Pasuk. And here is where Rashi drew his interpretation from. What does it mean that Hashem says, I will cut down the fruit from above and the Sharosha Malamata, Tzira, the wasp, Shenishlucho lefnei b'nei Yisrael l'nagev es Ma'amari lo'ovro imohem es hayardin. This wasp did not cross over the yarding. It only provided protection for them before they crossed the yarding. So the Gemara asked the question, v'loy? Did it not cross the yarding? Hugs, what it says in the Pasuk, v'shalachti es atzira lefon necha, Omar Rebbe Shimon Lakish, Rashi and Chumash quotes this Chazal, alsfas yarding omda. The wasp stood on the river bank, the yarding, v'zorka bochem mora, and from afar, from a distance, from the other side of the yarding, it would shoot poison across the yarden, the simsa enem b'lamala, and would cause the emorim to become blind b'lamala, the seirastan b'lamata become the impotent b'lamata. Shenemar, b'enochi hishmarati yisamod b'vnechem asher kwech v'arz m'gova v'chos n'chul kayolim v'ashmul is p'yum imal v'sharosh av mitochas. This is the chazal that the tzira did not cross the yarden. It remained chutz and did its work from a distance. Question is why? Well, I don't know the answer to these questions, but the question, obviously, there's a lot of great significance in this. Tzira l'chayre is a non-kosher creature. It's perhaps that tzira, like a sheretz, it itself cannot enter the holy land. The land is holy. The land that holds does not tolerate objects, creatures that possess contamination. However, that still did not hold back the tzir from assisting us from a distance. Even though it itself was not zoiche, does not deserve to come into the holy land because it's a creature that's tamei, it's a mashal. Yet, just because you're tamei, it's like a tviya on the umay so'olam. Just because the umay so'olam have no chelek in Eretz Yisrael, it's not for them. We don't want them there. They don't appreciate the sanctity of the land. It's not possible for a goy to live in Eretz Yisrael. If you bring your lifestyle, all of your forms of entertainment, and your needs into the Holy Land, you will contaminate the Holy Land. And the Holy Land will not tolerate you, will spit you out. So therefore, the Umay Yisraelim can argue, we don't have to participate in helping the Jewish people. Because since we cannot live there, if we can't live there, so we have no connection to this Holy Land. You learn from the Tzira. Look, the Tzira is a sheretz. It's a sheretz ha'oif. It has no business coming into the Holy Land. It's a non-kosher creature. Yet, it came to the border, on the border, on the other side of the Yarden, and it did for Klal Yisrael a lot of good. It sent forth its poison to obliterate the worst enemy that we have, the enemy of the Amorim, Milamala and Milamata. So just because the Umay Yisraelim have no shaykhis in the Kedushas Haaretz, it's not an excuse for them to assist, to have a chelek in the Ribbono Shel Olam from afar, from a distance, in assisting, in sending, in whatever they have to offer, to send it forward to Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem's holy people who can live in the holy place can live and serve Hashem. Even a Jew to live in Eretz Yisrael is a very big achayas. If you live in America, are you really willing to go and live in Eretz Yisrael? It's not so simple. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, I know someone once told me that he lives in Eretz Yisrael. He lives, where does he live? He lives in Beit Vegan. Oh, is that where he lives? No, he lives in Shuafat now. I live in Shuafat. Shuafat. So he said, you know, to live in Yerushalayim, to live in the old city, he says, I wouldn't want to live there. It's a tremendous achrayus. You have to be on your best behavior. He used the expression, paltoin shel melech. When you live in the palace, you have to be on your best behavior. When you see the king and you see all the powerful officers, they can do whatever they want. They have the full shlita. There's a higher degree of sanctity of behavior that you live. Maybe your person is not on a level where you know you can't watch. It's very practical. People need an outlet. So people watch television. Many people that I know, they have very good fine Jews. They watch television. They have a television in the house, and they watch the news, and they watch every so often they'll watch some type of show, whatever it is. Okay, who's to judge anyone? Let's say you want to make aliyah, and you want to live in Eretz Yisrael. Is it really proper when you're living in Eretz Yisrael to continue to do the same thing? There's nothing wrong. There's nothing you're doing in America. You're accustomed to a certain standard, but you're living in the Eretz HaKedosha, a holy place. You know, it's a holy place. There are certain things maybe you should not do. You want to live in Yerushalayim? There's even a higher standard. You want to live in the old city where you can see from your window the Kotel HaMaravi? You know, that means you have to give up certain things in life that you're accustomed to.
That's the Rambam's interpretation of Malachim, that they have Bechira, except they're sitting next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So
it's moot. Okay, very good. It's a very big challenge. And when you hear stories of people living in the old city and doing things that are not proper, you know, you want to do these things, okay, every people have a Yetzer Sahara, but don't do it in Yerushalayim. Okay, don't do it. Like, so I don't know, we learned today in Sefer HaChassidim, so someone they brought into shul, you know, different pamphlets about Shmiras Einayim. Shmiras Einayim. And it was a very, very good pamphlet. Very good pamphlet about all of the dangers of the internet and everything you need to know. Not like, you know, crazy stuff. Like stuff that's very, very on the mark. Really on the mark. But the rabbi said it's fantastic, but it's not what you bring in the Beis Medrash. Just take it out of the Beis Medrash. Everyone should read this. Everyone should know everything that it says here. But you don't bring this type of kuntris into the walls of the Beis Medrash, which have very explicit terms, very explicit pieces of information. You need to know it. It has to be read, but not in the Beis Medrash. So the sheretz, the tzira, did not enter the Beis Medrash. It did not come into the Holy Land. Because the tzira is a sheretz ha'oif. It doesn't belong in the Makom Kadosh. But that does not mean it has no obligation to participate in assisting Klal Yisrael by standing on the border, on the Yarden, and sending forth its poison to destroy the enemy. And that's a Musar Haskel to the Umay Sa'ilam in this generation. Just because you have no chelik in Eretz Yisrael, that does not absolve you from your obligation to connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and assist His chosen people of Klal Yisrael. Let's now go to the Choymas Anoch. Okay, page 283. Choymas Anoch. V'noch Yishvat Yisrael Mori. Yesh kam dikdukim bepsukim elu v'heim murgashim. There are things that have to be discussed. You can sense, murgashim, you can sense that there are issues that have to be understood and discussed. V'yashem. D'tchilo medaber k'neged b'nei God u'v'nei Ruvain. Hayoshem me'ever l'yardin v'aleim yomar sh'loylim v'cheyach. And Hashem speaks to them, not directly. V'yonochi hishmadeti yeshamor b'pneihem heim sichoin v'oiga shohoi goiva arozim. So here we're referring to the Emor. Now the Emorim lived, it appears, on both sides of the Yarden. Okay, sichoin melech, sichoin melech.
Says in Balak sichoin melech
cheshbon. Cheshbon v'oig melech. Habashon. So this, the Emorim, I don't know the details, but it seems from the collection of learning all the Mefarshim together that Sichon and Oig, that the nation of Emori span both sides of the Yarden.
Oh. And then later it says that. So in other words, they were, like you say,
both sides. You have no choice but to say that Sichon and Oig, that the Emorim were spanned, it was the boundary, the east boundary of Eretz Yisrael is where Emori was located. Emori is one of the Zion Amimin, one of the seven nations that originally occupied Eretz Yisrael, and they span both sides of the Yarden. Now, who took possession of the east side of the Yarden? We all know, Reuven and Gad. So the Chaim Mestachavir is coming to tell us over here that at first these Pesukim were going to divide up the entire Klal Yisrael. And Hashem is giving Musar to each of the Shiftei Koh. And we're starting by giving Musar to Reuven and Gad. And he writes over here, the Achar, and therefore referring first to the, who was the one that are very, very tall, the one that's Kegoiva Arozim, they were giants. Oig Melech Habashim, that's why we're calling them to the Goiva Arozim. Next, the Achar, Yedaber, Lashar Yisrael, the other Shvatim. What? Of course, right. Moshe was 10 Amos, his stick was 10 Amos, and he jumped 10 Amos, and he only reached his ankle. Of Sichon. Forget about Oig. Oig was speared from the marble.
It says in the Gemara Zvachim that they were brothers.
They were brothers, okay. So obviously they were giants. Obviously, look over here, the Moshe had 30 feet, which is a three-story building. A three-story building, think of it, a house in Flatbush, is about 30 feet. Okay, 30 feet, and 10, about 10 feet per a little bit more, but basically, it's like basically 10 feet per floor. So you're dealing with a three-story building, that was only the ankle, can you imagine the ankle of Sichon? I mean, you're dealing over here, this is not to be believed. You can walk around the
Empire State Building.
He can walk around the world in a couple of minutes. You know, he can just walk around the whole world. The Atlantic Ocean, you know, that's his bathtub. And the Pacific Ocean, that's his jacuzzi. Okay? Or maybe the other way around. Maybe the Atlantic, there are more hurricanes, so there's more of a jacuzzi in the Atlantic than the Pacific, whatever it is. But can you imagine what's going on over here? How massive he was? Any event, now with the Sodifa, when it says over the Kegoiva Arozim Gavai, we were discussing Sichon and Oik, who were the ones who dominated, they were the leaders of the nation of the Emorim, period. Now we go to the other Shvatim, specifically the other, let's see which one he says now, which ones, V'achidah v'l'shar Yisrael, l'noicheach, directly to them. And that's the second part of the Pasuk. V'anochi ha'leisi eschem, V'hani b'hani shaychei dehishmid ha'emori b'mnei kol Yisrael uluchulam hela mimitzrayim rakachilik ha'devanim lirmoyish shemidabu l'vnei godov v'nei ruven uli Yisrael v'amru razal chazal say ki b'tseis Yisrael mimitzrayim ha'kananim horsu ha'botim. So when the Kananim got word that the Jewish people are going to arrive, they demolished their homes to deny benefit to the Jewish people. Horsu habotim, v'chritzu ha'ilanois, they cut down the trees, v'asu pirtza gedolah k'dei shalo yehanu yishol mi binyonim unitiyos v'chayetze. Or it's called scorched earth policy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Scorched earth policy, when you know that you're going to lose and you do not want your enemy to derive benefit from your hard labor, so you destroy the land as you escape. As you abandon your home, you destroy it so they should not derive benefit.
That's what the Russians did. The Russians did that very much when they were attacked by the Germans. They drew them into the country.
Yeah.
Then it became more and more difficult for them to get supplies through. Everything, either the factories were taken apart and moved into the center parts of Russia, Siberia. It was a whole chachma, it was a yid that taught them how to do it. It was a whole big
thing. They moved to the other side of the Ural Mountain.
That's right, and hundreds of people had to move, or else anything they couldn't take with them,
they
completely destroyed. And the Germans got there, and it became more and
more difficult.
And then they waited them out during the winter.
And that's what was the end of them. That was that finished them off. Right, okay, yeah. So this is a very big issue. So let's see what happens. So therefore, it didn't go according to plan. The Egyptian, the Canaanim, when they finally understood what was about to happen, that we were on the way to possess Eretz Yisrael, they issued a scorched earth policy. They destroyed the land.
When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim 40 years before,
because originally we were supposed to come in immediately.
Right.
The 40-year delay was for bracha; they could rebuild. That's the point of it. Let's see over here. Let's see. It's an amazing thing over here. Look, it's an amazing thing what is over here. And not only did they rebuild; they rebuild with the latest technology. So Klal Yisrael didn't come into homes that were 200 years old. They came into brand new. Cutting edge.
Smart homes.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. A smart home. I had such a dilemma last night. I had to buy a timer. You know the old timers I have? You know the old timers? So I was weighing. I look at the timer. I could buy the old fashioned timer for $6. Or for $11, I can buy a smart timer. What? Smart timer where I control with my smartphones. No, the reviews are very good. The reviews are really very good. So smart, and so you know what? Forget it. Let's go with the old-fashioned stuff.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But when they came into Eretz Yisrael, like exactly when they came into smart homes, that is unbelievable. What the Achamis Noch says. So what happened when they left Mitzrayim? They got word that the Jews are on. We will be here within 11 days. Okay, only take a short amount of time to travel from Eretz Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan. So what did the emergency? Scorched earth policy, destroy the land. They destroyed it. And then what happened? We didn't show up. We wandered in the desert. So they were Miyayish. Oh, the Jews are not coming. They're not coming. Jewish time. 40 years later, we're not coming. So what did they do? They said to themselves, what a waste. We wasted our time. We destroyed ourselves from the world. Let's rebuild. They rebuilt the whole land brand new. All of the mistakes they made the first time around, they corrected. Okay, Rahman al-Sun, there was someone on my block. There was a fire in there. They spent a whole year, renovated, bought a house. It was okay, the house to begin with, but they renovated for a very long time. Rahman al-Sun, they had a fire, and it took a long time until they settled the insurance company. But he told me they cleaned up the whole house and they redid it. And he said to me, this time we're going to do it right. All of the problems, even with all the renovation, there were things that are still no good. They did it right the next time. Same exact thing. It's an amazing what's over here. Back to the second on the left side. We also appear to Gedolim Kadesh Lo Yehi Yisrael Mibin Binyanim Unitiyos Vechayetzim Lochein Ach Icharam Hakadosh. Therefore, look what he writes over here: a blessing in disguise. Do you know why we waited 40 years? Not only because it was a punishment. Sheinatzuosi Zeeser Parmen. Hashem wanted to give the Canaanim the opportunity to rebuild the land. So to rebuild the land so that when we come in, and this time will not be destroyed. So when we come in, it will be everything will be ready for us. Lechein icharem Hashem delayed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arboim shana v'nisyoashu. And the Canaanim, they gave up hope. They thought it's not going to happen. They're never going to come. V'chozhu livnois v'lin toya. They rebuilt, they replanted. V'zeu be'etzem. So that if I would have allowed you to come to the land immediately, they would have been destroyed. And beautiful, beautiful trees. Everything was perfect when we came in the second time. So why didn't they do a scorched earth policy the second time around? I guess they were suspicious. The same way Klal Yisrael, they cried wolf the first time and nothing happened. So I guess they were suspicious. Now when they're coming around, who says they'll come in a second time? So they didn't do anything. And they were caught off guard. And we came in and it was a beautiful land. It's an amazing thing. So why could HaKadosh Baruch Hu arrange it that they would not destroy the land the first time? Put a machshava into their minds not to destroy. These are all questions. There is yesh v'yesh. Every single thing that happens in this world, this is very complex, is that mitzad echad, it's truly a punishment. It's a punishment. And mitzad sheni, there's a blessing there as well. And it's very difficult for us to appreciate how both a punishment and a blessing can be synthesized into one act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't chas v'shalom think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited. The only way there can be a blessing is only if there's also going to be a punishment. That's not correct to say such a thing, because then you're coming to limit Hashem, which is something which is not correct. if Hashem wanted, Hashem could have just persuaded, influenced the Emorim in such a way, the Canaanim, not to destroy the land, and we would have entered a land that was built first time around. It would not have been necessary. But since, for whatever reason, we were not roy, we were not fitting, the things happen in many complex ways, which is very hard to grasp how both of these things come together. We have over here so far, we have the Chumash Hanoch and the Malam. They both say a very fascinating concept. Two things that are very, very similar. Number one, 40 years was in order to allow the mind to cleanse itself from the unhealthy and non-kosher conduct that we were familiar with in Eretz Mitzrayim. And number two, we're learning from the Chumash Hanoch, another reason why Hashem delayed 40 years is in order to give the Canaanim and the Marim the time to rebuild the land so we can enter into a land that is furnished, that is fully constructed and fully functional. There are roads, there are highways, there are factories, there's food, there are trees. Everything is all in place for us. Really very, very fast and very, very deep ideas that are being presented to us over here. Let's now go to Pasuk, then we go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Gidalef, new Pasuk. The Akim, Hashem is telling us over here that another act of kindness. Look what I did for you. I gave you the best chinuch. This is such a bracha today. People today would gobble this up. Is that today everyone is struggling so hard. People that I know. So it's such a hard thing when I see my chaver, they have children in yeshiva, to find the right yeshiva. It's not a given. Oh, you put your kid in yeshiva and you can go on vacation for the next 15 years. You have a baby. The baby is 3 years old, 4 years old. You send him to Head Start, pre-1A. And that's it. It's auto-cruise, autopilot. He'll go to kindergarten, first grade, elementary school, high school, they smash. Oh, the next thing you'll wake up, it's time to marry him off. And then you'll worry about it. It's not like that. People, they struggle. Everything is such an issue that the kid should be happy. And the Rahman al the kid shouldn't be influenced by bad people. And who knows, and do this and do that. No one today can take anything. Forget about tuition. Tuition is a halbatzar. Money. Forget about it. There are people that have all the money in the world and they can't find for themselves a place where their child will be happy. The child will grow in spirituality in a healthy way. It's a nightmare. Rahman al-Tzal, what's going on? People, even though you see so many yeshivas, it's a nightmare. Not every child fits into the mold. And what do you do? What do you do? It's just such a hard thing to do. So here the Pasuk says, I was so good to you, Hashem says, in those days, you didn't have to have any daigus. Your kid is 3 years old. You enroll him in kindergarten and Head Start. That's it. It's autopilot. Autopilot. He'll go. He'll have the best rebbeim, the best. Everything will work out. You don't have to worry about it. You know what? By the time he gets married, he'll already be a navi. He'll already be a prophet. He'll already be on such a high madrega. That is mamish, the ultimate bracha. Instead of waking up every single day and eating your heart out. What's going on? How come he has this problem, that problem, and all these issues? I went and I brought up your children. You put them in chayde, and you know what became of them? They became real prophets. And your young men were all nizirim. We'll come with, now. Here's a very powerful words in Zos. Are you going to deny this? Hashem says. Are you going to call me a liar? We learned this in out of order last week. Are you going to call me a liar? Is this not true? Is this not true that your children became prophets and your young men became the Zirim? B'nei Yisrael Nu Hashem, I challenge you. Show me that it's not true. And how dare you then go and make trouble? How dare you go and worship idols of a Bezergi, the Reshvi, Chastamim, and do all these terrible averas when I have been so, so good to you? Before we go any further, I just want to make a very important point. I think Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky makes this point. It's a very, very fascinating point. It comes from this pasuk, and the reason why it's Haftarah Parashas. What's Haftarah again? Which Parashas is coming up soon? This is the Koyama the Arboa. What Haftarah is this? This is the Haftarah for Parashas Vayesha. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that every bachur is a young man who's not yet married, that's the typical way we bachur, his rite of passage was to become a nazir. When we learn Parashas Nosai, and we learn about the Parashah of Nazir, so we think of, you know, one in a million. In Eretz Yisrael, right, in the time of the state, there was the person known as the nazir. What was his name?
Tumim,
a very holy person in a very long. He called him the Nazir. We think of a Nazir. Who's a Nazir? His father-in-law. He's a very holy person. Okay, we think, oh, who's a Nazir? One in a million. Wow, he's a Nazir. He's a Nazir. Yeah, you want to see what a Nazir looks like? First of all, a Nazir, you don't have to be a Nazir for 30 days. Your hair doesn't have to grow long with a ponytail. Being a Nazir is...
You can't get out of it. That's why
you can't get out of it. Nazir Shimshon. Another Shimshon. Only, but a Stam Nazirus, if you want, you can accept it. Multiple terms. I want to be a Nazir for a year.
Right.
And every month, you cut your hair and you bring a car karbanos and you repeat the cycle 12 times. You can. There are different things. One of the types of Nazirus is, I want to be a Nazir for a year, which means I want to do 12 cycles of Nazirus.
You can't do one continuous.
You can also. You can. That's another type of Nazirus. I want to be one Nazir for 12 months in one shot. That means your hair will grow long for 12 months. Or you can be a Nazir for 6 months. You can define. But a more popular approach to Nazirus was, I want to do continuous cycles of Nazirus for a period of time, which means every 30 days you get a haircut, and the hair, you bring a carbon shlamim, and it requires you to go to the base time. You just go through an entire process.
A carbon ashram also.
A carbon ashram is only when you become tummy. If you become tummy, you bring a carbon ashram. If you make it without becoming tummy, then you bring a chatos, a shlamim, and an oila. Only when you become tummy do you have to bring the carbon ashram. So there are different ways that you would never even know someone's a Nazir. Most people don't take a haircut every 30 days. People take a haircut on average every 2 months, every
yeah, he's not drinking any
month and a half. What?
He's not drinking grapes.
Okay, so they'll say he's a very good boy. He's not drinking alcohol. Grape juice, okay. So you don't drink grape juice. You go to, so your father makes kishi, and so amen. So you don't drink from the kashal bracha. Not the end of the world. Whatever the case is. But Rav Yaakov Kavnesky says that in the time of Chazal, it was extremely common to be a Nazir, especially young men, young boys. In fact, it was a rite of passage. Is that just like you tell you bar mitzvah? So if you bar mitzvah, you gotta, today it's in style by boys who are able to do so, people who are zoichet, able to do so, is when you become bar mitzvah, you gotta prove it. So how do you prove it? So some boys, they learn Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah. Okay? They don't really learn it. I know what goes on. I finally learned the secret because someone asked me to learn with someone. I learned with them. My father said to me, I want to go to these siyumim by a bar mitzvah. And the boy is making a siyum on Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah. Okay, well, wow. I can't do that now. I stand in my head, I couldn't learn Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah. It's way too hard for me. How did this little kid learn Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah? I'm very suspicious. But it's very hard subject matter. It's very hard to learn Moyed. Forget about learning Taharos.
No,
Zeroyim, it's impossible. How did he learn Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah? I couldn't do it. Stand in my head, I couldn't do it. What? Learn Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah? I'm very suspicious. Very suspicious. And then what makes me really suspicious is, they get up to make the Hadron, and they literally cannot read the words. The parents, don't you at least fake out the oil and teach them to read the words? Teach them how to say, and the Kaddish, it used to be in my day, there was no stigma, there was no, for a boy who has parents to say the Kaddish when you make a Siyum.
Right.
There was no stigma. I remember, we made Siyumim, and you said the Kaddish, we almost the Osil is Chadata, the Asra.
Brown used to say, just make a Kaddish
Durabanan. Okay, fine, but the boys would do it. The boys would do it. Today, all of a sudden, there's a new rule. New rule in town. This has been accepted that since this is the Kaddish that is said in the cemetery at the time of Misa, so a boy who Baruch Hashem has parents should not say this Kaddish. It's like Yizka. You go out for Yizka. I never heard of this before. I never heard such a thing before. It was a big chiddush to me when I went to a siyum and someone asked me to say the kaddish. Whoever, what? Who told you this? We always said the kaddish. I never heard there's a stigma in saying the kaddish. No. And then someone said they asked Avchaim Kanievsky. Avchaim Kanievsky says that's right. The boy should not say it. If he has parents, the boy should not. Okay, fine. I'm not Avchaim Kanievsky, but I'm really choyshed deep down inside The reason why this minhag has changed is because they can't pronounce the words.
Dental bills.
They can't pronounce the words. What?
He breaks his teeth.
Can't pronounce the words, and they're just too lazy to learn how to read it. That's what I'm choishet. I'm a nasty guy, right? Okay, I'm a nasty person. So, okay, all right. I don't understand something. You learned Shisha Sidre Mishnah, something which even big Rashi yeshivas can't do, and you're telling me this little kid over here, he learned, and he can't say the words. He can't even say the hadron. Something doesn't add up, Rabbi Isai. It doesn't add up.
They learn the English.
They add up. So someone asked me recently. His son is bar mitzvah, rapidly approaching. I should help him finish up Seder Kodshim. So then he says to me, all the lights went off my head. And he says to me, I'm not asking you, as all of his brothers, they made a scene by the bar mitzvah. This is my last son. I don't want him to be different. I'm not asking you to learn with him every word of the Mishnah. You learn the Mishnah, you just go through, you read it and explain to him the basic concept of the Mishnah. Go weiter. If you're going to learn with him, to learn every Mishnah, to get every Mishnah, I learned Baruch Hashem Chavrusa before davening. It used to be much more often now, my Chavrusa, you have to go to Lakewood to go to work early, but we used to learn, we learned Tyrus. We learned Vizroyim and Tyrus, and we would spend literally, I would say, half an hour in one Mishnah.
Right.
Half an hour in one Mishnah. So first of all, time-wise, how do you have time to go with these kids? So he says to me, you just learned the basic concept. That's all I'm asking you. Now I understand. Now I understand the secret that goes on behind the scenes. All right, listen, learning is learning. I'm not coming to belittle it. But it's
very quickly.
Very quickly.
Show
off.
I'm not showing off. You're learning. You start learning.
Okay, you're right. But when I was a kid, by bar mitzvah, it was unheard of. A boy made a siyum on Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. It's like today, someone makes a siyum on Bavli and Yerushalmi and all of Shulchan Aruch, right? I'm going to come today, today's the yard site of my great-grandmother, three times removed. You like that expression? My great-grandmother, three times removed. Right? So I'm going to make today for you a siyum on Bavli, Yerushalmi, and all of Shulchan Aruch, and Tanakh, I chazered three times also. You laugh me out.
In one year.
No! I found out only the yard site is I found out last yesterday is the yard site was today. So I did it like that. So you laugh me out. What is this? Purim? What is this? You crazy?
The role of a rabbi in this role, like a teacher on any subject, is not to teach him everything.
Of course not.
Teach him how to learn.
Of course. But there's a basic, when you make a siyum, there is a bare minimum. In my days, when I was bar mitzvah, those days, you never heard a bar mitzvah boy, I mean, maybe in the wrong circles, I don't know, you never heard a bar mitzvah boy by the bar mitzvah, he's making now a siyum on Shisha Sidrei Mishnah.
Usually one.
Why? What? Maybe one second, maybe, that was a big thing. You never heard such a thing. Why? Because even though you're right, you can just ashak a chumash like Yom Kippur. I can just read up all the Mishnayos or a period of time. That's not learning. Learning is there's a certain basic minimum. Now, basic minimum is you should have a basic idea of what each of the words of the Mishnayos mean. Just to take a Mishnah, there's a concept. Okay, next Mishnah, concept, and not go through the words.
But there's different learning.
You're right.
And then on
no,
their
but,
own,
but it, it's not what would be acceptable. I don't believe even the most optimistic, the most liberal person would be pleased with it being satisfactory that you would consider this to be making a siyum where you can get up in public and tell the olam, I've learned Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Okay, but it's a lie. It's a chizuk game that is, it's a little bit, you're pushing, you're really going, you're going a little too far.
Not the standard that you want to set for them, but they did learn it. And hopefully they'll grow and to continue to learn.
Of course. Okay, you're right. It's all good, but it's a little bit of a stretch. I really think it's not a little bit. It's quite a bit of a stretch. The Bar Mitzvah boy gets up and he says, I learned Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. You know what it is to learn Shisha Sidrei Mishnah? Even on the most minimal level? You know what that is?
I don't know what goes on here, but in Eretz Yisrael, the young kids, they go almost every night to shul, they're sitting with
Their own age. They're on a how much higher level.
Adult watching. It's not even matter how high level. They're also laughing and having fun. But they're sitting and they're reading the Mishnayos.
Okay, if that's how it is in Eretz Yisrael,
they start when they're 9 years old.
I don't know about Eretz Yisrael. I only know you're right. They're trained. There's a different environment.
There are some yeshivas that don't start Gemara until much later, until they all.
That's the new system. The Zilberman. What's that system called?
Zilberman
system. Right. That's an experimental. It's like in beta.
But isn't that the way it was supposed to be?
Yes. But how come it has not been done for? How come it has not been done for generations? That's not been done for at least 1,000 years, such a system.
No, the grow
is a yachid. Yachid shebedoira. The grow is not the hamoinan. You can't bring a riot from the grow. The grow is one in a billion. You can't bring a riot. Talk about the average system for the average person. It has not been done for 1,000 years, such a system. Today they've done it. And the results, my brother very much wanted to send his children to the Zilberman system. My brother did a very thorough investigation. The basic reason why he didn't do it was because the school where that was available to him was not well funded, and they just did not have the regular traditional school that they had was just well funded. They had rebbeim. They had rebbeim. They had tutors. They had everything that you possibly need in the yeshiva. It's a well established school. They have a whole system in place. This school was a very small school, and they were desperate. They were desperate for money, for funds to get. And when there was a desperation for funds, you know, it comes out in many ways. If they would have been well-funded, equal to the other yeshiva and have all of the resources that are necessary, like you need for the average child, then it would have been for him a much bigger, much more appealing. But then he also told me, already it's been around for a while, and they already have the product of people who are adults, both in Russian. And no one knows, can't say anything. He says, from his investigation, It did not work out well for everyone. In other words, they know they can spit out for you. They can spit out Tanakh. They can just say Tanakh. They have that mile. They know the whole Tanakh Baal Peh. But there is some salt and pepper that's missing. This was the result of his investigation then. That was a while ago. And why is that so? No one. Maybe it's because like they weren't well funded. They don't have the resources, you know, to get it established the way it should be. Maybe now it's much, much better. And it's not. It was too small of a sampling. It was not. So he don't want to play around. He don't want to play around with his own children. So he sent to the regular yeshiva. But he was very, very tempted. You know, you cannot be jealous when you see a little kid, a 15-year-old kid that can quote for you Tanakh Baal Peh. You know, that's and knows Mishnayos. That's like, wow, you're right. So the system is obviously, there's something wrong with the system. But, according to his investigation, this like that term, the older boys, they get into their 20s, a little bit older, he says, in Bati Midrashim, there's some salt and pepper that's missing, and it's disturbing. So, listen, if we're doing something for 1,000 years, and it doesn't make sense, the whole system doesn't make one bit of sense. We all know that. But listen, you know, Hanach lohem li Yisrael, im einam nevim, b'nei nevim. Mitzad sheni, you know, you gotta go and follow the masses. You know, I'm not gonna say the expression that you all know is that, you know, you have to make improvements. It's a time to move on. There has to be a balance. What is the balance? Every child is different, you know, so listen, you know, you need siyat shema. All I can tell you is, one thing which really struck me, and I read the biography of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer had a child, his name was Avraham Shmuel, the Kasaf Sofer. I think it was the Kasaf Sofer. So he died as a young man. He died when he was 57 years old.
The Kasaf Sofer?
Kasaf Sofer, 57 years old. When he was 7 years old, he was deathly, deathly ill, and he was about to die. In fact, they lit candles around him, like they did in the ancient times. They lit candles around him as a goyseis, and the Kasaf Sofer was in very deep prayer. And then, all of a sudden, a miracle happened. He got better. And there are Ede Shemiah that heard the Chassam Sofer said he was in very deep tefillah. He says, I was zoicha to get for my son a yovel shanim. A yovel, yovel. That is koicha tefillah, yovel. And that's indeed why it's Pelel that he died when he was 57 years old. In any event, this child grew up to be an awesome, awesome Talmud Chacham. When he was like 19 years old, it was just bizarre how much he knew and what a great Talmud Chacham he was. And someone who was fellow with the Chassam Sofer said to the Chassam Sofer, you know, wow, how are you zeicha to this? So the Chassam Sofer took off his hat. I don't know what kind of hat he wore. He took off his hat and he said, I filled up my whole hat with tears. So that he should be matzliach in his learning. What? Vaharavna. But more, I filled up this hat with tears. That's how many tears I shed that he should be zoicha to siyat v'shmaya in learning. So everything is said and done. It's tefillah. When everything is said and done, you can have everything is the best and this and that. If there is siyat v'shmaya, you will succeed. If there's no siyat v'shmaya, it's not going to happen. What is the ikur technique to gain siyat d'shmaya? Tefillah. Not everyone has to be like the Chassam Sofer to fill up a whole hat of tears. But, you know, all of these systems and techniques, it's all fine and good, but if you're missing the most important ingredient of, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, we also need you to help us, then it's not going to work. There was once a Rashi in the middle of the first Seder, he used to bang on the bima. Everyone would stop learning. And it was Rabbi Sai, before you continue, I wonder. They thought he was making an announcement, someone died, or something happened, the World War III broke out, or who knows, we're under investigation, the government's here, everyone, take out your birth certificate, who knows, and he gives an announcement to Rabbi Sai, says, Rabbi Sai, I want to remind everyone, there's a Rabbi Sai in the world. Even though you're sitting, you're harving over the Gemara, don't forget, there's a Rabbi Sai. Okay, you could lose track. Chassam Sofer, he had a koyach of tefillah. You know what he did every Yom Tisha B'Av? You know what he did? You're not going to believe this. By the Suda Mafsekes, what did he do exactly? He cried. He cried. I forgot how it went. He filled up an entire kois of tears, and he drank the whole thing. He drank, he cried. When did he cry? He cried, Erev Tisha B'Av, he cried, filled up a whole cup, and he drank it right as the Sudah Mafsekes, right before Tisha B'Av began. Super duper bizarre and super duper unhealthy. I don't have to tell you, don't try this at home because you couldn't even do this. If you wanted to, you couldn't do this. It wouldn't work. Any, you want to say anything in the Pasuk? Only my whole head was full of water. He had a koyach of tefillah, and that he says that was the success of why his son was zoche to be a Talmud Chacham. Now going back to all this, I got sidetracked. The bachurim l'nezirim. It's a very important concept. Over here, the Kosh Baruch is giving the rite of passage. I get into this discussion by telling you that today a bar mitzvah boy has to prove himself. It's become the style. By doing something special at his bar mitzvah. So some bar mitzvah boys, so we used to be in the old days, they would lane. Okay, you would lane. They still do. Not unfortunately on everyone, but it was much more prevalent years ago. A bar mitzvah boy was expected to lane. That was a davar pasha. Today it's not like that anymore, I don't know why. But a bar mitzvah boy would lane. That was his rite of passage. Okay, then you make a siyum. It's another thing. Or you go and you say a pilpul. You give a pilpul, you give a drasha. You do something to show I've made it. I am now a mature adult, not just physically, but I have my priorities in the right order. Torah is the yikar. and you show that you have entered into this of godless by doing something important. In Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, based upon this pasuk, which we learn every year, Parashas Vayeshev Naftorah, the rite of passage in ancient times was not to lane, not to make a seam of sechta, certainly not to make a seam on Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, not to make a day of a pilpul. It was to complete a term of Nazirus. You're a bar mitzvah boy, you know what you do by the bar mitzvah, you mekabel upon yourself to be a nazir. And that means no alcohol, no hanging out in the cemetery. Okay, they probably did things there that were not proper in the cemetery. And I don't cut your hair. Discipline. Basically, it is intense discipline for 30 days. And then when you conclude your term of Nazirus, you bring 3 korbanos. And it's a long, intense process that goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. It'll shake up this kid. It'll shake him up. When he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, they shave off his head. They burn it under the shlom. They give him teeth and cut him. He has to be tahar. All the things that accompany what happens when you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you become a Nazir. It's not a simple process. It's the rite of passage to be a Nazir when you're a Bachur. When you did to show that I've now achieved my adulthood. And what is the advantage of doing this? Why would a person want to do this? There's a famous chazal. It says in the Pasuk, V'achar yishte ha-nozir yayin. So the question is, he's no longer a nozir. No longer. When you finish your term of nazirus, and you're permitted to drink wine, you are no longer a nozir. When you're a nazir, you're not allowed to drink wine. When you're a nazir, you're not allowed to contaminate to the dead. You're not allowed to cut your hair. And the pasuk says, cut your hair and bring your korbanos, and everything is finished, and now drink wine. And it gives you bracha. V'achar yishte ha-nazir yayin. Chazal learned from this, once a nazir, you're always a nazir in regard to the sanctity. Being a nazir brings upon you a certain degree of holiness. Holiness called a nazir. Although the laws of the naziris terminate when you finish the term of 30 days, but the title and the kedusha never goes away. So in order to enter the rite of passage for a young boy and a nazir, what is the sanctity of a nazir? A kohen gadol. A kohen gadol, we know, a kohen gadol that let's say is not feeling well and he doesn't work for a day, what happens? We need a sub. So they appoint a substitute kohen gadol for the day. Now when the primary kohen gadol comes back, what happens to the substitute? He doesn't go down. Whenever he does avodah, he wears the big day shemayna.
Right.
Yeah. Once a kohen gadol, if let's say they're all on vacation, they all went to a convention, they all went to all the kohanim, all the kohen and the sub, and there's a third kohen gadol. You could have 20 kohanim gedolim walking around. What?
Mara says 3.
Did it ever happen?
No, it's even more.
Yeah,
I'm sure it happened. Once you serve temporarily as a kohen gadol, even for one day,
you retain the title
and the kedusha, right. And it's not your job. You don't have any rights. I mean, there's only one person that goes lefnayim v'lefnim yom kippurim, the primary, the main kohen gadol. But once you were a substitute kohen gadol for one day, you will, every time you appear in the Beis HaMikdash, you will wear the big day shemayna. And every time, and that kedusha remains with you. Once a kohen gadol, you're always a kohen gadol, no matter what.
That's the mission.
Right. So therefore, what is a nazir? A nazir has exactly the same laws as a kohen gadol. He may not contaminate himself to one of the seven closest. No, that he could. That he could contaminate, but generally, when a person is a nazir during the term of nazirus, and when a person is a nazir, there's a sanctity that does not depart, and that sanctity does not depart. How do you know it? Because of the pasuk, the achar, after it's all over, yishte hanazir yayin. Once a nazir, you're always a nazir. Therefore, when do you want to give a young little boy sanctity to put him on a high level, to prepare him for life. He should conduct himself with holiness when he's bar mitzvah. You're bar mitzvah. Now is the time when you're going to conduct yourself with the laws of Nazirus in order that you should be a Nazir for the rest of your life.
In the times of the Gemara, there was very few people attending yeshivas and schools.
That's right, it was private.
Private, so maybe that's the expression of visual difference. So the kid didn't go to yeshiva, didn't learn, didn't know to read. So
well, the Gemara told me it was an Amora who made yeshiva.
In the
Amoraim. The Amoraim, they established yeshivas.
Three times, different kids.
But before that, they didn't have Gemara in those days. We don't really know. The truth is, we really have no clue as to how we know Torah, al mo of the Oretz. Shlei Beruchu ba Torah Tchila. Obviously, Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, existed from day one, from Matan Torah. Yet, we are clueless, how did they study Torah? They were not allowed to write. Everything, it's forbidden to put anything in writing. They didn't have Gemara yet. There was no Gemara. There was no Rashi.
They said they learned from the Sefer Torah. That's why they had a stay.
What does it mean? So the Rebbe would say a pasuk, and what would they do? They would darshen it. What was the tech? What was the mode? How could you be involved in learning Torah the whole day?
That's why maybe the Midrashim came in, because they were
not... No, Midrashim are the same time as the Gemara.
Yeah.
The Midrashim is the Tanoim, it's the same Tekufa. We really are clueless. I've never ever seen anyone even try to attempt to figure out the mode, the technique, the method of studying Torah that existed before there was something called the Talmud. Okay, Rashi, already in the Rashi's time period, in 1096, okay, before that, in the 11th century, end of the 11th century, we already know that their studying was similar to our type of studying. It was similar. Look, they didn't have the printing press,
right.
So everything was handwritten, but they had a text. And they studied the text, and there were teachers who gave various interpretations of the text, and they would fight it out. So to a degree, there was a text to work with. Not everyone had their own text, but there was something to work with to study, and the text was the Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli was compiled 500 years, probably in the 6th century. There already was a Talmud Bavli, and a Talmud Yerushalmi. You already had a text.
Yeah, but the mitzvah was preceding it.
What?
But there were a lot more mistakes.
The rite of passage. When is the 13 years? Is like for our boys. That's not in the Gemara.
That's the Gemara. It's halacha lemoshe misinai that a boy who's 13 years old is chayiv in mitzvahs.
So that my point is that's the only thing. Okay, study, not everybody. A few study. But so visually, somehow, like we want, like now, 13 year boy buys a Barcelona.
Yeah.
So
the Borsellino they had was the style of dress by the Goyim.
Yeah, but I'm just saying a symbol, like he's 13 years old.
Yeah.
So
rite of passage?
Yeah, like that time, 13 years old.
Right, so what was the rite of passage? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, I don't know how he knows this, but he quotes this pasuk as a source, but obviously it has to be more to it. Umi bachureichem linizirim. Is that a bachur, which means an adolescent, someone is like a teenager, which means basically when you become bar mitzvah is the time when you begin your rite of passage to show, like just like today, a bar mitzvah boy shows I'm now an adult by wearing a black hat in those certain circles, and by you make a siyum mishnayis or laning, all the traditional things that you go to a bar mitzvah. You know, it's a statement. This child has now entered into a new state in his life. And to show that he has done so, he's going to perform. What will he perform? To each his own. In ancient times, how did a boy perform to show that he has reached this stage in his life? He became a Nazir. He's now 13 years old, and he's now going to be makabel upon himself, Nazirus. And then you come back in 30 days, they go to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's in a very elaborate procedure. They shave his head. They have three karbonos he has to bring. And they have to eat it within 2 days or one night. Before you can come into the Har Bais, you have to go to mikvah. You have to have the paraduma water. It's a very complex, holy process. This process was, by design, was dedicated. Every bar mitzvah boy should go through this process to impress upon him what life is all about. And then you get the advantage of what it says in the Torah, the achar yishteh hanozir yayin. This episode, this event in his life of being a nozir will remain with him forever. Even though you're not following the laws of Nazirus, but you still retain with the term, you're a nozir. Once, like you ever see on the news when they invite an old president, Mr. President, just because you're not currently the president of the United States, if once upon a time you were the president, they call you Mr. President. That's the mitzias. Once the president, what? No matter, even though you retired, you're still called your honor. You're still called the title. The achar, where does that come from? It comes from the Torah. The achar yishte hanozir yayin. Once you were a nozir, you're a nozir. What do you mean? Why are you drinking the wine? We're now referring to the laws of Nazirus, the sanctity of Nazirus. Mm-hmm. You want to give that child that sanctity that shall remain with him for the rest of his life. This is the rite of passage from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Umi bachurechem linit. It doesn't say yezikenim. I always thought, who's a nazir? I thought, oh, an old man, a guy like you see the pictures of the nazir at the time of the early days of the state. You see the nazir, you see a picture, a holy man, long hair. There's not so many pictures of him. But you should, a zaken, someone is a holy person, right, that we're not familiar with. No! Pumfakert! You know who the nazirim were? The children. I'm talking about adolescents. Bar mitzvah boys. That's who a nazirim. Why? They should learn when they're young what life is all about. And it will stay with them their whole life. Yachay yishtan nazir yayin. How do you know that Rav Chamesky says that I'm right? Umi bachurechem le nazirim. This pasuk. Now, it takes a lot of siyata shmaya that a child should want to be a nazir. Some children, they would rather be a rock star, a Michael Jackson, when they're 13 years old, but before being a nazir. It's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam that a child should want to be a nazir. Because it's not natural that a child 13 years old, this is what he wants in life. It's like the Pirchei, always haunts me, this the story, the Pirchei, Mitzoy Shavis and Lava Malka. Right, so they have all these prizes. They have Sfarim and a bike and some Nintendo game, and the grand raffle, and this kid is chalishing for the bike. And I think there's a choice. I don't know. I don't remember the whole details. And the kid wins. Okay, what are you going to do? Whatever you want. I want the bike. No, but you want the Sfarim. You want a set of Mishnayos. I don't want the Mishnais. I want the bike. I want the bike. I don't want the Svarim. I don't want it. Well, that's right. The kid is 13 years old. What do you want from the poor kid? He wants the bike. Give him what he wants. He's not in the Madrega to want the Mishnais. You should have a bar mitzvah that wants to be a Nazir. Wow. This is divine intervention. It's a gift. The Ribbono Shel Olam has done for you a toiva that your children should want to learn. They should want to daven. They should want to be a nazir. Do you know what a gift this is? You don't take this for granted. Right here. This is scripture. Excuse me. Just because they don't learn this in yeshiva doesn't mean... Well, now you're learning it. Now we're going back to the basics. The basics.
That's why I'm here.
The basics. This is a gift, and that is what the Pasuk is teaching us. We're going to stop.